As mentioned last Sabbath, we had a very unique Passover this year, and even afterwards, I still haven't been able to stop thinking about some of this, the uniqueness of it, especially in the fact that this may have well been the only other time that God's people have been told to stay inside during a Passover, and very unique in that respect, and causes one to wonder where things are and how close things might really be. So we shall see, and that's a part of what some of this sermon is about today, what God is doing and how He's doing it. And thought I'd mention even in chapter 9 of the book, the last portion of it, some things brought out that are unique and have to do with what we're doing and how we continue to go forward, but it's kind of sobering as well. Anyway, in part 1, we began looking at the plagues that led up to God leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, delivering them from Egypt. And we focused upon the purpose of those events and how God worked with a nation at that time, with Egypt, with Pharaoh, and with Moses and the children of Israel as well. And it's an incredibly inspiring story, especially for this time of year when we go through some of those kinds of things and go back and look at them. But to see some of the similarities of things of how God is working, but in a different manner, but for the same purpose. And so it's the similarity in the purpose that is striking and I think very inspiring as well to see, and sobering because of what's taking place out there now, that it's really unimaginable how anything could be brought back to what people think would be a norm. There's just too much that's taken place, too much that's happened as far as the financial world is concerned, as far as trade between nations, which is already starting before the virus ever came out. And all that's taking place is really quite incredible. So we indeed have that front row seat, and it might be a little uncomfortable at times, causing us to squirm, but that's where we are. And so again, we focused upon those events that carry some of the same purpose, obviously, because it's all about a process of humbling the world this time, not just a single nation, in order to deliver the children of Israel into what at that time was going to be the Promised Land. It's just they had 40 years interruption. But nevertheless, what's taking place in the world now is still some of the same purpose. It's about humbling mankind and bringing mankind to a point that it is able to begin to acknowledge certain things of where it's been wrong, and that it can't solve its own problems. And God is going to make that clearer and clearer as time goes along, and hopefully it isn't a long time, but we shall see. So we've been looking at some of these things, especially that's happening in a worldwide pandemic, and seeing some of the same kinds of results in a unique manner that is part of a process of humbling people. Though you can see we have a long, long way to go, and so it was in Egypt. So again, we began looking at some of those things. This time, obviously, it's going to be a deliverance from a spiritual Egypt. But we began by looking at the talking about the snake and how God was working with Moses. We skipped over one. I skipped one about the water turning to blood and so forth, because I was only going to go to a few of the different plagues and so forth and zero in on them. But as I was going along and already started into the sermon, becoming clear that I wasn't going to get through it all anyway. And there's really a lot of information in there about Pharaoh's reaction, Egypt's reaction, the response, or the how God was working with Israel along the same process there. And so there are bits of information that are brought out that are different and unique with some of the different plagues. So that's why we're going to continue on now looking at some of these, but looking at them more now in order for sure, even though I skipped the one earlier. But obviously we looked at the frogs. That's basically where we started as far as the plagues were concerned. And so again, we were at a point where a severe pestilence was cast upon all the livestock. There were food shortages, obviously, beginning at that point in time. This interrupted everything as far as agriculture was concerned, with livestock anyway. And some of the similarities there couldn't help but be noticed because of things that are in the news right now. I think today it was talking about, I wish I could remember how many millions of gallons. You remember the number? A few million gallons every day being dumped of milk. Incredible what's taking place out there, and so much more than that. But that was just one that stuck in my mind this morning I can't remember, it's 4, 8, something like that, but it was a horrendous amount, incredible, just being thrown away because it can't be delivered, it can't be used in the same manner as it was before. And so anyway, we're going to pick it up today here. We're going to Exodus chapter 9 and look at some of this where we left off and begin focusing on some of these things again, having to do with the purpose of what God is doing, because the same thing has to take place again, but on a far more massive scale, because this has to do with the entirety of all the world and how God is leading it up to a point in time where finally a war is going to break out. How long? It could happen quickly. It could be for a while. We just don't know. So we're watching. We're preparing, continuing to prepare, or I should say, continuing to prepare ourselves. I'll get it out. Anyway, so it says here in verse 1, "Then the Eternal said to Moses, 'Go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Eternal God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Eternal will be on your livestock.'" So it's about the livestock. Different translations translate some of these things differently. And even in how they, it's just, they do an awkward job because, I don't know why, but it's kind of messed up at times. So many of these things are in Scripture. Anyway, it says here specifically, "In the hand of the Eternal will be upon your livestock in the field." And then it gets specific, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence. So again, this is a very powerful impact that this began to have upon them, as was mentioned last week. When you begin to think about different ones here, when you think about an oxen, oxen had a purpose, and it was for agriculture. It was for tilling the land. It was for taking care of things that they could do in the plowing and so forth. So again, same kinds of things are taking place. If you look at agriculture, especially back then, because agriculture, it's a mainstay, obviously, of life. It's how you live. And we've become kind of spoiled in this Western world, or even around the world, because of machinery, because of technology, and the ability to do so much so quickly with greater ability and power. But when those things begin to be affected, which they are, because it's just in a different manner. And it has to do with a pandemic right now, which is incredible to see. So some of the same purpose is still there, and this is just the beginnings. And this here was toward the beginning as well. So it goes on to say here, and of course, this being a time when God began to make a difference between the Israelites in the land of Goshen and the rest of Egypt. So it says, "So the Eternal will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt." So this was the beginning of that process where a separation was made. Before that, the Israelites had to experience various things right along with the rest of the Egyptians. So when you look at some of the other things that took place before this that we've already read about, they went through some of the same things. And that's why we need to grasp. We're going to go through some of the same things, but then partway into it, when it becomes stepped up to a point that it's far more dramatic, far more having far more of an impact upon people, there is that understanding that God's going to take care of us. God's going to protect His people. So there are things we're going to experience along the way to a point, and we learn from that. We'll continue to learn from that, and those who go into the millennium that are part of the church are going to learn from that. Those who are a part of the 144,000 are going to learn from that process as well and be able to grow spiritually as a part of that because of the mind and how we have to work with those kinds of things as they take place in our life. And so it is here. And so there's that encouragement, that knowing what God tells us over and over again, but here's a story where He did it and lets us see that in a unique way with the comparison of what we're talking about today. Because He's still telling us, as He is in the sermon today, that He's there for us. He's there to protect us and bring us through those things that are going to become harder upon the world. And yet we're going to experience certain things to a certain level. So to expect that all the way through. But yet we have God's blessings, God's protection, and God's help. And it's a matter of that which is individual in our lives as we look to God for those things. And He is our high tower. He is the one who protects us. He is the one who puts a hedge around us and sets a dome over us, if you will, and gives us help to where we don't have the same thing to the same degree happen to us as what's going to happen in the world. So we have that blessing. And then others who come along, who begin to listen, they're going to be helped. God's going to intervene for them as well. And so he says here, again, making a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Verse 5, then the Eternal appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Eternal will do this thing in the land. So the Eternal did this thing on the next day. And all the livestock, it says, now that's not a real good translation because that's not true. There was livestock in the field, certain ones that, whatever that distinction is that's made here, it isn't absolute in the sense of explaining it, but there was so much livestock that was destroyed. It's not a matter that every bit of livestock, because again, the story as we go along makes it clear that wasn't the case. So although there was massive destruction and this was the beginning of that, it wasn't complete at this point. There are other things that come along later that do far more destruction and a continuing destruction, and that's the way it has to be in the world. God's going to allow certain things to happen to a certain level. That'll get people's attention for a while, and then pride begins to come back up, just like it did in Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Something seems to be like there's an answer, like they're finding their way through part of this, and then all of a sudden something else hits. And it really has to be that way, because otherwise people aren't going to be able to be humbled. So God's purpose when these things happen is that one thing will follow another in more rapid succession as time goes along for the purpose of humbling people so that they will be able to begin to listen and be led up to a point in time where God finally brings an end to it all and brings in his son into this earth. Then it says, then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, it says, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. So nothing was dead of the Israelites, but there was mass destruction of the livestock of the children of Israel, but not all. But the heart of the Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. So again here, it's human nature. It's incredible what people will go through and still resist and still fight and still look to self, one's own ability, one's own power, one's own whatever it might be. And that's exactly what we're experiencing now. That's what we're going to continue to experience. But as time goes along, it's just like people thinking about stockpiling, about putting some things aside for a time when they can't go out and go shopping. Well, people aren't laughing at that in the same way anymore. They're not mocking in that area right now. I guarantee you they're not mocking in that area right now. So we've heard different stories come back where people kind of see some smarts and all of that. That there has been a time now, and this will probably, hopefully, lead others to realize that they don't want to be caught off guard again, because there could be a resurgence of this. So those who are smart and those who are wise are going to make sure that they have, I think of toilet paper. I don't know why toilet paper is such a big thing to everybody, but it is, and it is a big thing. But it's not as important as food when it's all said and done. But it just shows the human mind and how people are. But again here, those things are going to become, for some, more important now. And hopefully people will, again, be strengthened through all this and be better as a result of, as far as planning ahead. So it says, the heart of the Pharaoh became hardened, and he did not let the people go. And then verse 8, it says, so the Eternal said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. So, again, incredible. Here he goes, gets the ashes. So this is something wherever he's located so that Pharaoh can see him when he does it. And it says, and it will become fine dust in the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and animal throughout all the land of Egypt. So here, whatever these kinds of sores are that it talks about, whatever erupted on the skin, and Pharaoh saw them throw this into the air, and then this started breaking out just everywhere on Egypt, on the Egyptians. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward the heaven, and they caused boils that break out in sores on man and animal. verse 11, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. So again, people hightail, it was so severe, the pain was so bad from these things, whatever was taking place, that people weren't moving around. And as it says in verse 12, but the Eternal hardened the heart of Pharaoh. So it's amazing what people will go through, and still this reaction, this response, after they've gone through a portion of it. And it says, and he did not heed them, just as the Eternal had spoken to Moses. And we understand that about human nature. We understand that people aren't going to listen. There are going to be people who, all the way through a war, until the very end, when they see Christ and 144,000 returning, that they're still not going to repent even at that point in time there. And we know that there's going to be a massive amount that Christ and the 144,000 are going to fight against. It says they're going to destroy those who are destroying the earth. And that could be into hundreds of millions of people. Could be into a billion or billions. We don't know yet. But we're learning more about human nature and that resistance toward God, even as we have gone through recently about the Great White Throne. To know that there are those as the sand of the sea, because the count is so large of those who are going to refuse God. So that's the kind of nature that exists in human beings. It's so hard to be able to come to see those things, even with God's Spirit. And that's a good example then of thinking about people. Many have been called and a few have been chosen, to choices that people make, and how easy it is to turn to something else, because that's all about pride. It's about being lifted up with pride, turning against God. And so these examples over and over again of what happened with people who just fight against, resist God, resist change, want things to go back to what they're calling a norm or normal, whatever that is. And it's not going to happen in the same way. Life has changed, permanently so, in that respect. But people will continually come back to, the majority will, that there is a way of working this out. There's a way of working through it, whatever that might be. Verse 31, it goes on to say, now the flax and the barley were struck. Did I jump something here? Just a moment. Yeah, I think I did. Oh, I struck. I jumped quite a ways here. Woo! Let me back up quite a ways to where in the world? Well, I was somewhere with the, I think I changed the page here and flat forgot it. Yep, boils. Here we go. Verse 13, then the Eternal said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Eternal God of heaven of the Hebrews, or the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send my plagues to your heart, to your very heart, and on your servants and on your people. So he's telling them now, on your very heart, on your very, how you think, how your emotions and your feelings and those things that are going to strike deep inside of you, this is going to become far worse than what it has been to this point in time. So he says, so much so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. In other words, there's no way now. There comes a point in time where people begin to be shaken, and that's what God is telling them, to where you will begin to wonder. You will begin to think, where? This is not normal. This has to be of something, a great power that we haven't been addressing or recognizing. So there's going to come a time when all these things are taking place, when there will be, at least in the thinking somewhat, a beginning of a turn, a beginning of a change in people's thinking because of all that they're experiencing. And it takes a long time to get to that point. People have to suffer a lot, just like we see now. People are fighting about how to get back to different things, and there's no way that there's any thinking in mind that God's in this, that something is taking place that God's a part of. But God says there will come that time when that will begin to come into people's minds. So this is what he's telling them, in essence, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. In other words, it's going to start and lead to that more and more and more. It doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately. It means there's going to begin this process that's going to be such an impact that those thoughts, that thinking, will begin to come into the minds of people. Verse 15. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. In other words, God is revealing the power to totally wipe out everyone. He said, but I haven't done that. But I have that power. I am the great God, the Almighty God. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you. And so, in other words, there is more to be learned from the process of going through this to show things about humility, to show things about pride, to show things about how mankind resists God and will be humble to a point, perhaps, and then go right back in a stronger way, the heart becoming more hardened than ever before against God, against whatever God is doing. And this is the process. And so this is what people, we're going to see this back and forth as things continue on. But more and more as it goes forward, more and more people are going to have the thinking in their mind. That's what God is showing them, that there's power here that is not normal. Things are happening that are far beyond something that's ordinary. And that creates a type of fear and a wonder about God and so forth. And what are we to learn? What are we to know from all of this? And so it says, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Well, that's what happened. You know, I've always been amazed by or inspired by some of the stories we've gone through in times past, and even a recent time when we went through and talked about the time after they started into the promised land after 40 years and they begin to go in there. How many of these different people, this is 40 years later, and they all, as it were, brought up these stories about the Israelites and the stories they had heard and about Pharaoh and Egypt. Egypt became nothing after that for a long time. And what took place at that time because of the destruction that happened to Pharaoh and his army, these stories, the plagues, it went throughout all the nations round about. This is what people were talking about. That was the news of that time. And those things, they were told by people who traveled, by people who traded and so forth, the trading routes. There were all kinds at that time, as there always has been with mankind throughout the ages, going back thousands. That's just the way it's always been. So these stories went with them. And so people they were fully aware of these things. They had heard these things. And that's what God is saying, that my name may be declared in all the earth. And that just becomes greater and greater as time goes on. And even the things that are happening now, it's a matter of time throughout the, think about it, the millennium and the great white throne, the stories that are going to be told to people that make some of these stories we're reading right now seem much smaller in that respect, because now it's going to be about the whole world that God's working with in order to bring his government, his kingdom to the earth. Verse 17, and yet you still exalt yourself against my people, and that you will not let them go. And it's like, look at yourself. Don't you see what you're doing? This is your attitude and this is your spirit. So I'm going to show you things that are going to strike through to your heart far more powerfully. I could have destroyed you, but there are things that need to be learned. There are things to be shown and shown my greatness, and I have raised you up for that purpose. I think about different things in the world right now, knowing that God has had a purpose in different ones who have been raised up to do some of the jobs, some of the things they're doing for that very purpose, to bring things to this point in time. And in different nations of the world, that I hope we understand and see some of that, that God is working with. He doesn't just work with the church at this time here. He's working with the world to bring all this about. And to orchestrate all that is beyond our human comprehension. Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, now send and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. So now God is saying this heavy hail, and it shows in what's associated with it and the power that's there. And they're being told now, bring it all inside, because if you don't, whatever's left outside is going to die. So we had the plague before, the pestilence upon the animals, severe pestilence, and it didn't kill them all. This is very evident now. And so it goes on to show here, all that's left in the field now, they're going to die, and all that's going to be left is what you brought inside. So are you going to listen to me or not? Incredible. Verse 20, He who feared the word of the Eternal among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. So there are people who listen. And I think of a time, there's going to be a time in the midst of all this, that there are going to be people who will begin to listen. And they're going to know, just as it said up here before, it's going to come into their being, into their heart. They're going to know that something greater is happening, and they're going to be more willing to listen and to respond. Not massively all over the country, but they're going to be a large number who will. Verse 21, and that's just going to grow as time goes on. But he who did not regard the word of the Eternal left his servants and his livestock in the field. Human nature. And that's the way it's going to be. So I think about how there are going to be those who will begin to listen and others who won't. But the ones who begin to listen, which God has made it very clear, the message that's going out, is if you will listen to God, God will listen to you. And listening involves turning and changing. So those who will do that are going to be motivated to do that. It's because of the things that are going to take place, far more than this pandemic right now. So when some of these things begin to happen and God begins to put it into their heart, begins to offer that to them, there are going to be people who listen. There are going to be others who just won't do it. And they're going to become more hardened in heart and hate the thought of some of those kinds of things, candidly. So there's going to be that process. And that's what was happening here. There were those who weren't going to do it, period. Then the Eternal said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on animal. So this is more than just the livestock now. It says on man, animal, and every herb of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. So God is making it very clear here that man and animal that's out in the field, this is it. There are going to be people who are going to be killed massively so because of this, because they won't listen. And God is going to use that toward the end here for people. Verse 23, Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Eternal sent thunder and hail. And says here, New King James, fire darted to the ground. Another one, the King James says, fire ran along the ground. So again, we recognize lightning striking the ground and perhaps running across the bottom of the ground. I've seen that in different pictures and stuff that have been captured where, especially if it's on a mountainous area or whatever, a higher up elevation, there are pictures that people have taken where you can just see once a strike has taken place, it just goes all across the ground. It's incredible, some of those kinds of things that have been captured. And so whether it be something like this, which it probably was, again, the power that was involved in that, never having seen anything like that all their lives, for some, this is moving. So much so that there were some Egyptians who left with the Israelites when they left. So, again, incredible story. So it says, the lightning striking the ground, and so there was hail and fire, in other words, lightning mingled with the hailstorm. It was so very heavy that there had been nothing like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both of man and animal. So here, more and more, it's an incredible impact. And I think of the economic impact, because that's the end result. So people's lives, in this case here, leading up to this point in time, it had to do with, as we talked about, things of agriculture, things of transportation, because that's what horses and donkeys and so forth were about. The oxen, obviously, we understand is a matter of agriculture. So all these things being struck, and I think of all the reports coming out right now of things that are closed down, but there's going to be an attempt now to reopen various things, and what's going to follow that? So it says of both man and animal, and the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. So in other words, it's showing here that there are like fruit trees and things of that nature, that it doesn't mean they were just cut down, every one of them, to the ground, but it's making it very clear here, just like you might go out in a windstorm or whatever after a really severe windstorm and you see branches of different trees, small and large, that have been struck down or that have broken out. And this is what this is talking about. It was very severe to where the land was littered with this kind of stuff. It says, only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, where they were, there was no hail. So it didn't affect them. Incredible. Again, that encouragement that God gives of protection in the worst of times and the most severe of things that are taking place, that he can protect an entire region by its boundaries. And God can do that with us within whatever boundaries we have, wherever we are. And that's the message for us to learn from all this. So again, at this point, it's good to see Pharaoh's response and consider, again, the parallel here to our time, to human nature, because it's just ongoing all the way to the very end for them. Same is going to take place now. Verse 28, implore the Eternal that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for this is enough. It's enough. And I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. So Moses said to him, so there's this going back and forth. There's this surrender to a point, but not really, only as it benefits self. And so that's how horrible human nature is. And so people may talk certain things, but when it comes right down to it, there is no change that's going to take place. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Eternal, and the thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Eternal's. Powerful. And God is going to let mankind know, as we go through all this, slowly but surely, there will be those who will begin to learn that. And those who won't, when Christ and the 144,000 return, so many of them are just going to be destroyed because the millennium isn't going to start with them. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Eternal, your God. To me, this is incredible to be telling him that, because God had let Moses know this, that it's going to take much, much more, that Pharaoh is not going to let the people go. And in time, God within the church has taught us those kinds of things very powerfully. So, as a whole, people aren't going to embrace this. Not in the worst of times, not by the time it's over with. You would think that with all the things that take place and a message that's out there, that people would be humbled and drawn to it, but they're not. And it's going to take so much, and that's what's tough in all this. That's what's hard in all this, is the resistance of the human mind to fight to the very end. Anyway, verse 31. Then it goes on to say, I think I finished that one. Yep. Jumping on down here. Verse 31. Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head of the flax and the flax in the bud. So the grains were there already forming, and to what level it doesn't say for sure. But the wheat and the smelt were not struck, for they are late crops. So again here, especially when crops get to a point, seeing this out in Kansas and different states in the Midwest and the Wheat Belt, where you have a hailstorm come through, or even a bad wind and rain can cause the wheat heads to begin to bend over, sometimes to lie down. But especially if hail strikes, it'll just knock things out right and left and totally destroy and ruin crops to where it doesn't pay to go in and harvest. And this is the kind of thing he's talking about. This was so severe. Other grain, when you look at plants that are starting to come up, there are those that are green, they're coming through the ground, but those can be hit by something very strong and yet survive. They will continue to grow or be able to come back again because they were such an early stage of development. And that's what it's showing here. These were at such an early stage of development, they could have still come on, they will come back, they would start growing again, and not a total loss, in other words. So they could still come to a point in time of maturity and be harvested later on up the road. But the things that were ready to be harvested that had come to that point in time, God said, brought them to a point of just being destroyed. So it says here, verse 30, so Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hand to the Eternal. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured out on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he continued in sin. And he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So again, it shows here the destruction that took place and to what level, and yet showing this attitude, just back and forth, back and forth. And I'm glad God has shown us these things because it helps to see, helps us to see things realistically. I know we desire that people would change, that people would, especially people we know, people we've known in times past. That's even going to be more difficult in some cases. But it depends on where people are, and that's between them and God. But so many, just even who have known the truth, those who are asleep will resist, not just the rest of the world. Verse 35, you can't give this to anyone. That's the point. You can't give this to anyone. So though we want people to make certain choices and so forth, and we can be exceedingly happy when they start to show some signs perhaps that they're beginning to think about and so forth, that's our hope, and that's good. But ultimately, it's everyone's own choice as to how they do it, when they do it, what they do. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Eternal had spoken by Moses. Chapter 10, verse 1. Now the Eternal said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, so that I may show these signs of mine before him. So when you look at some of these, those with the with more to lose in that respect, those with greater power, it's a again a sick thing about the human mind. Those in those positions, they don't want to lose the power. They don't want to lose the wealth. And it's amazing how far they will go in order to hold on to it, because that's what's important to them. And where others oftentimes then will react differently, but these are harder to get through to. They have more pride in that respect. They are more stubborn and set in their ways. They have more to lose in their thinking. So again, so that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things that I have done in Egypt. So obviously these things have been passed down through time, still being passed down, and we're going through it today. And my signs, which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Eternal. So even for us, all the way to this time, you know, with God's Spirit, we're inspired by those things that God has done through time. And we're inspired by how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. We're inspired to learn the things He wants us to see from that as well, to recognize the protection, the blessings we can have in the worst of times around us, that God has the power to set apart people, to protect them from other things that are going on. I've seen this at many different times within the church. I think at one time a tornado here, right here in northern Kentucky, when we first had been in this area. And I think of a tornado that came across right from the airport down to where a deacon, was it deaconess as well? Yes. Deacon and, what's that?
Yes.
Yeah, deacon and deaconess and the church were living. And this tornado came down toward them. This thing was so big. There were just a couple blocks from their house when it was all over with. There was a great big jet engine, just an engine, just right out there on the street, by the street there, you know, plop. Somehow the houses just totally leveled around them. But what had happened was, right in their backyard, the house behind them, you could see the path of the tornado. It came right up to that house, darted to the side, went through some trees just to the side of their house, came back around to the front of their house, and began to take out houses again. It's just like it just took an absolute shift right there around their house. I think about their son who came home. He had driven home, and you could see this for a time, but he got home from work. He was going into the house, and this was coming through right when he parked the car. And he didn't have time to get in the house. He kneeled down by the side of the house with his hands down, his knees on the ground. And because of the winds and because of what happens oftentimes with rain mixed with these, it brought up the mud and slapped the mud against the side, the white of the house, on that part of the house. And you could see his imprint of his body right there where he'd been. But he was fine. And the wind had just taken off just a little bit of some of the shingles on one corner of one portion of the house there toward the roof. Incredible stories over and over again of things like this that have happened in times past. And again, just being able to witness those things, see those things, and think about things of the future of what God's going to do for His people. If we look to God, God and as our high tower, our fortress, the one who protects us, the one who God takes care of us. It's that trust, that reliance, that knowing that God gives to us, that peace of mind. And desiring that be given to others as well, that others will begin to listen so they can receive that benefit and help as well. So again here, going through some of this, I lost my place again. I know I started with chapter 10 here, but I don't know how far I got. Anyway, talking about my signs, you shall know that I am the eternal. And verse 3. So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the eternal God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me?" How long are you going to keep resisting? Because this is just going to continue on, and that's the same thing at the end here. How long will people... That's, again, just shows human nature. What a horrible thing to humble mankind around the world, too. Let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. And they shall cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the ground. And they shall eat the residue of what is left, which remains to you from the hail, and they shall eat every tree which grows up in the for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses and the houses of your servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. So again here, telling him, this is what's going to happen. You know, you've hardened your heart. The servants had hardened their heart, and now this is going to happen next because you just won't listen. Incredible human nature. Verse 7. Then Pharaoh's servant said to him, interesting, now because of that and because of what they were told, because there are those who were there, there are those, this spreads quickly, there were those listening, those around Pharaoh at the time Moses is there, here's all this. They've just gone through something that, even though their hearts were hardened by all this, and the servants as well, now they have some fear mixed with this because of what was said that was going to take place next. And so, knocked a little sense into them. Now they're beginning to listen a little bit, at least, to what Moses has to say, and it stirs up fear quickly. And this is their response. Then Pharaoh's servant said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the eternal your God." Did you notice what they're saying to Pharaoh? Their advice is, let the men go, that they may serve the eternal their God. "Do you not know that Egypt is destroyed?" So they weren't there all the way. They still had things to hold on to. They wanted to keep the wealth of the Israelites, if you were, because they knew their livestock hadn't been destroyed. They knew that things that were growing in that part of the nation, that wasn't destroyed. So there's still that wealth that's there that they can have. And so let the men go, and we still have this, and we still have servants that serve us, the Egyptians and so forth, to do our bidding and the like. So, but at this point here, there's a little bit of a desire here, let the men go, let them get out of here, and maybe, in essence, we'll give a little bit so that maybe God or whatever, Moses is gone. He's not going to harass us anymore. He's not going to be here anymore. He'll be out there in the wilderness, and we'll have some peace. Carnal thinking. So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go serve the eternal your God." Go serve the eternal your God. So at the warning here of what was going to come next, and because the response then of the servants, Pharaoh brings him in. And he tells him, go ahead. Who are the ones that are going? So that's followed by this question. And Moses said, "We will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters." So this hasn't been brought up to this point yet. So now the servants are ready, and Pharaoh is considering letting some of the men at least go, maybe the leaders go, whatever was in his mind, we don't know. But he was ready to see what Moses' response was to this. So who do you want to go? And so he says, basically everyone, sons and our daughters, young and old, with our flocks and with our herds we will go. Right away, you can just almost feel the hardening of the heart again, because that's their herds, their cattle, their livestock has been destroyed. And now this is being brought up, and you think you're going to take what's left now in your land and you're going to take it out there away? He didn't trust them anyway. So that's basically what comes out as we go along here. And it says, with our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast to the Eternal. Then he said to them, interesting response from Pharaoh, how this is said, a little awkwardly translated in some cases here, but basically he's telling them, the Eternal had better be with you then when I let you go. In other words, this isn't going to happen. So the Eternal had better be with you, because it's like saying, if I ever let you go, he'd better be with you. So in other words, I'm not going to let you go, not with everything you've just asked. So God had better be with you on your side in all this, because this isn't going to happen. That's basically what he's saying. So he said, the Eternal had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. In other words, your intent, he's basically saying here, your purpose is only evil, Moses. In other words, I don't trust you. You want to take everything out, and you want to take all the livestock, everything? Not going to happen. He just didn't believe him. He didn't trust him. So he says, not so. It's not going to happen. Not going to let all them go. Not going to let all the cattle go and all the livestock and everything you're going to take out. And you have a feast. So here the Egyptians, they're suffering. They don't have the kind of food they had before, except some that might still be in store and the like. But God has wiped out so much of this already. Think about the locusts that came through and everything they did and all that they ate up, you know, all that they did. So it says, not so. Go now, you who are men. So take the men and go with you and serve the Eternal. For that is what you desired. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So Moses didn't give the response. And so they were driven out, told to get out of there. Pharaoh was sick and tired of listening to them. The servants were sick and tired of listening to them and having them around and all the things that had been happening to them, and the nation's almost destroyed. How much does it take sometimes? How much? I think I'll stop right here and just read something here. Some of these things in the news, I've been doing this at different times here. I want to do that at this point here. Just some headlines of different things, because we see things that are taking place, a part of a process that's going on. And it's not just the pandemic that's going on right now. There are several things that are coming to a head right now that are creating an environment that's forcing people into a particular kind of thinking, if you will, especially in various nations, especially in China. And it's kind of like pushing someone into a corner. And that's not real good, but that's what's taking place. And God is allowing this for great purpose of what's happening in the world and the different nations that are involved. And even with Russia and some of the things that are taking place there now, and people and unrest that's taking place in some of these areas. You know, when those things begin to happen, you know what a lot of nations have done in times past in history? They go to war. That's what they do. To take people's minds off of something else. And that may be happening as well with some other countries, that they're bringing certain things up, talking about certain things, focusing on certain things, because sometimes when you go through a lot, to cause people to be brought together, to sometimes to hold on to power perhaps, or other things that are involved, or wealth, people come to a point where they actually believe that war is a solution, that war is the thing that will unite. It's a perverted thinking, but that's some of the thinking that's going on out there right now. Anyway, some different headlines here, and oftentimes, just like it is, the headlines say it all. African locust outbreak returns. Second wave, approximately 20 times larger. So this was last Sabbath. This news came out. You think, how incredible. We're not touched by that, but there's a part of the world that is. And at a time when food is not moving in the world like it had been in the past. The production of food, even the production of food, some of it's rotting in the fields. All these things are taking place, not just here in the United States, but throughout the world. These things are happening right now. And you think, what an incredible thing, because it's not like a slow process or one after a small one, not a small one, not by any measure, but it had an incredible impact. But if you put them all together at the same time, that would be different. But to do them one after another, as God did with the children of Israel, that's one thing. But so many things happening at the same time, it's forcing people, nations, into a particular place, a being. And there will be a result of that as we go along. How far it goes, how quickly, well, that's what we're watching. That's what we're going to see. Another one, fast-growing locust plague could crush East Africa by June as numbers set to surge 400-fold. Now they're saying certain areas 400-fold. Another one here, a Singapore oil trading giant on verge of collapse after banks freeze credit lines. Now this is just a small ripple. So it's a headline, but this thing that's going on with oil. What an incredible thing that right now, during all the midst of the pandemic, we have that going on too, this thing with oil. And what OPEC is doing, what Saudi Arabia and Russia, and they're not even getting along. And their desire, candidly, to see the shale oil process here in the United States just be totally devastated. And so, like Putin was saying, how long Russia can last. They have a certain amount of months that he knows they're going to do fine, even if it goes down to $10 a barrel. Well, he may get it to $10 a barrel. It's been down, it's getting down in that neighborhood. You think, this is insanity for oil to be at that price. And there are wars going on in all this. Petrodollar, all these things that are taking place, how nations trade, how nations are exerting power because of all this. And there have been a lot of wars, if you will, just fought over the fact of oil alone and where it is. It's the way nations are. So there have been a lot of wars, a lot of governments collapsed, a lot of takeovers and so forth around the world through the last many decades here at different times because of the one subject alone, oil. And so we see something taking place now that's nuts and unheard of, where it's so low in price, they're filling up all the places they can store it and talking about how that these places are almost full. And so if they keep up the kind of production, well, what happens next? Well, it's forcing nations to a breaking point. And oil is a very powerful commodity, has a lot of value to it, to all these nations. Without it, they're not going to last long. So what do you do when you see your sources, like Russia, the Middle East, different places like that, their resources drying up, Venezuela, you see all these things taking place, what happens? War. And then you see things taking place because of banks, because they have to have liquidity. They need a certain amount in order to keep doing what they're doing and to hold on, and yet there's going to be such a massive onslaught here as time is going on here of defaulting that's taking place already and lack of assets, and so many things are over leveraged so much so, trillions and trillions, hundreds of trillions of dollars. It's insanity. And now it's time to pay the piper, so to speak, and there's nothing to pay. So what do nations do? Go to war. Another one. Top Pentagon generals warn enemies not to attack as 150 bases impacted by COVID-19. So let everybody know, you got 150 bases impacted by COVID-19. We're being open to the world. I think of Israel at times that were a little too open to other nations around them and what God said to them, how stupid that was. And here we are because it's like we're bragging. We're open to the world. We have a democracy. And the rest of the world hushes things up. They kill people to keep things quiet. They'll do all kinds of things, but not us. We want everybody to know. So you think, okay, it's a free press, freedom of everything. And what do other nations do with that kind of information, especially at a time like this? Well, you talk about a perfect scenario. If you're going to do it in time, it's sure looking like a better time, isn't it? So they're warning people not to attack. Obviously, a reaction to reports of thousands of U.S. military coronavirus cases, with hundreds on the USS Theodore Roosevelt alone. Thus, General, I believe it's, I don't know if Miley, how you pronounce his name, insistence that the U.S. remains ready rings hollow as a desperate response to ships and bases which are clearly, partially, or wholly out of action because of the virus. You couldn't write a scenario like this in the same way. To be impotent, in a sense, now add something else to that spoken of in the book, and you have a perfect scenario for a thinking in mind that they can be conquered, that this can be over with, that we can gain the power, and that's where we are in time. So I'll tell you, it's very sobering to see these things. Another one here. U.S. banks reportedly set to seize oil and gas assets, fearing energy firms' bankruptcy. So this is building up more and more. What are they going to do? Well, there's not much they can do. And you talk about sinking. This is a time for sinking. This is what's taking place all around us. So what's unique about all this is the speed in which it's happening. And we need to understand that. The speed of what's taking place out here right now is really quite incredible. Will there come a point where there be some ability to grab hold of and have a little bit of time that things get back to not going to be normal again, but to something like that people feel better about it? Maybe. I don't know. It depends on how God is doing all this. He may not allow that for other purposes and reasons that kind of parallel some of the things here with Egypt. So again, we're watching to see how this all transpires. But we need to understand things are happening. Things are bringing things to a head in a manner that, because this is about nations, it's about what's going to take place and how it's going to take place and them being pushed into a corner where they finally do some of the things that they do. We're watching this. We're living this. We really are. J.P. Morgan scrambles to raise mortgage borrowing standards ahead of biggest wave of defaults in history. It's because, see, they don't even know yet, but they know it's coming because this is so quick. How do you deal with something that's happening so rapidly, happening so quickly? Well, the reality is you really can't. Another one here. Spain lifts lockdown for non-essential workers amid harsh debate and fears of new wave of COVID-19 cases. It's going to be interesting to see what happens if and how new waves come, because there's going to be a humbling taking place through all this. Another one here. One of the largest pork processing facilities in the United States is closing until further notice. So I thought I'd put a little light in all this. In the midst of all this, to think about a pork processing plant, we see a healthy benefit from that. But it's not funny either, because you think of other plants that are closing down, because there are plants all over the country where they've had outbreaks and they've had to close down some poultry plants, beef packing plants. And so you see the same kind of trend, the same purpose of what God is allowing as he did with the Egyptians. And it's happening across the board. No one is escaping in that respect. It's affecting everyone. Another one here. As Italy and Spain issue dark warnings, the prospect of COVID-19 delivering a mortal blow to the EU is growing day by day. Incredible. The EU, they've been having a hard time as it is. This now is causing ripples and splinters. And so we see that clay and that iron, and yet we know there's still going to be 10 when it's all said and done. That's incredible, because they're being pushed into a corner even in Europe. And 10 will spring out of all this in a very powerful way. How far away is that? Might be pretty close. Might be pretty close. Goldman Sachs downturn will be 4 times worse than the financial crisis. They don't say 2008 anymore. They just say then the financial crisis. But speaking of that period in time. Another one here. Possible Chinese nuclear testing stirs U.S. concern. So that's an article. Another one comes out a little bit later that ties into this as well. Because, again, it has to do with pushing China into a corner. It started happening with trade. Now more trade is being looked at by China in a way, because they know that because of this virus, everything is changing for them. They know They know that they're headed down the toilet. So how are they going to stop it? Well, another one here. China gleeful that U.S. or four U.S. carriers hampered by COVID-19 boast that the PLA Navy is not impacted. So again, this jabbing back and forth and taking pot shots at each other verbally at some time will be more than pot shots. One here says Moscow's communists warn there will be mass starvation and protests as coronavirus slams Russian economy. So it's affecting every nation in the world. And what's interesting, again, is to note nations respond to these things, and they don't all respond to the same. They're not going to respond the same as this country does by any measure. Another one here, a question mark in the article here. It says, retaliation, China suddenly toughens export rules, freezing critical medical goods destined for the U.S. Just hours before President Trump, General Milley, and now the mainstream U.S. media increased the rhetoric volume on the source of the Chinese virus with questions about leaks from Wuhan lab growing louder, American firms producing medical goods in China have been slapped new export restrictions, stranding much of the supplies in warehouses across the country. So there's this game going back and forth, but China knows full well that after this, the U.S. is going to change dramatically so in pharmaceutical and technology things being brought back to the United States, having greater control from the United States. They know that their economy has been impacted in ways that can't be taken care of for decades. So the questions that they're going to be dealing with is, what did they do? When did they do it? How did they do it? And maybe a willingness or a desire that they're not going to allow more of this to take place, a time to intervene and do something. So those things are on our doorstep, and this is all happening at an accelerating pace. Again, people pushing China more and more into a corner. Another one, angry China refutes groundless the U.S. charge it conducted banned nuke tests. So again, every little thing you look at here, it just gets worse and worse and worse until someone says enough is enough. Look at Pharaoh. Look at what happened with the servants. Enough is enough. How long are they going to continue to torment us? How long are they going to be allowed to tear us down? How long are they going to continue? They're changing everything we've ever planned for or never done. Anyway, interesting. Another one. Lawmakers call for China to face accountability as suspicion grows that coronavirus leaked from a lab. This is big. Just pushing more and more. But their response isn't going to be a good one. Going back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 10, verse 12. Then the Eternal said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts. So they told them, take the men, the rest can't go. God had better be on your side. God better be with you, because this is never going to happen. In other words, it's like a challenge. You know, God's with you. It might happen, you know, but not believing that in any iota. But this is, we're not going to let you go. This is not going to happen in any fashion or form, to leave with all young and old and children and families and all the livestock. No, might as well have said, not over my dead body. Well, that's basically how people think sometimes, which is eventually what happened. So he said, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left. So like some of that was growing, gone. What was left with the trees, gone. Fruit, leaves, everything. Basically as a matter of what God allowed to take place at this point in time. So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Eternal brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe, and never before had there been such locust disease, nor shall there be such after them. For they covered the face of the whole ground, so that the ground was darkened, and they ate every herb of the of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Incredible here what God did. And we live in that kind of a time where God is going to, people are going to be living in incredible fear before this is over with. Verse 16. Then Pharaoh quickly called for Moses and Aaron and said, I have sinned against the Eternal, your God, and against you. Now therefore, please forgive my sin only this once and implore the Eternal, your God, that he may take away from me this death only. So going through the motions, believing it at the moment, but it's amazing. It doesn't take long for people to sit around and things begin to fester in the mind, especially when something is taken away and things look like there might be a little light at the end of the tunnel here, and people will go for the light rather than humble themselves, truly humble themselves. So he went through a part of the motion here. So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Eternal, and the Eternal turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the land of Egypt, but the Eternal hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. So, again, we're going through all this just showing that all the way to the end, there are people and masses of people who are going to refuse to change or going to refuse to listen to things that they could otherwise listen to and to begin to think that there's something to learn, to turn to God, and cry out for help, for deliverance. There are people who just won't do it. Verse 21. Then the Eternal said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. You know, I can't comprehend. We don't know what that's like. Darkness that's felt. Whatever pressing power was there upon them, we don't know. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. Can you imagine? But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So it didn't affect the Israelites again. So again, this constant encouragement all the way through the story here. Regardless of what it is that comes our way, God is there. We are God's people. God will take care of his people. And he will help those who begin to listen to him as we go through all of this. And they will receive help as well. Verse 24. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Eternal. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Isn't that amazing? After all of this, after going through all of this, the land's nearly, it's obliterated. Everything, so much has been destroyed. And still, it's hard to grasp that kind of pride, that kind of mind. But that's the mind of mankind. That's why I'm really not surprised by what God has given us recently about the great white throne and those of the sand of the sea who just will not accept. After everything they see that God has given to man, to mankind, the peace, the prosperity, the health, second life, after going through all that and experiencing it, they still don't want God. They want to live their own way. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Eternal, only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. But Moses said, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Eternal our God. Can you imagine standing there telling that to Pharaoh, when Pharaoh, knowing that mind and how he goes back and forth so quickly in emotion and feeling, but that's what happened again. That was just too much for Pharaoh. So Moses went on to say, our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we must take some of them to serve the Eternal our God. And even we do not know what we must serve the Eternal until we arrive there. So everything's going. We take it all. But the Eternal hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me." He had had enough. This was the last straw for Pharaoh. And he was at the point of taking their lives indeed. He said, "Take heed to yourself and see my face no more." In other words, you don't come here again. In other words, this is a dire threat. Your life is at stake. I'm not going to go through this anymore with you. "For in the day that you see my face, you shall die." Pretty powerful. Well, we know the story. Moses' response here, this is good. Moses said, "You have spoken well. I will never see your face again." It's going to be a wonderful time when we finally get through all this, when we're finally to the other side of all this. But getting there is not easy, and neither was it for the children of Israel being able to be delivered from bondage, being able to be delivered from slavery, and for the world to be delivered from a spiritual slavery, spiritual Egypt. It's a hard, hard thing. We happen to live in that age. We're going to go through things that aren't going to be easy. We're going to experience things that aren't going to be easy. Some are going to be hard, but nothing compared to what the rest of the world around us is going to be experiencing, because God makes it clear to us, He is our God, and He will give us protection and favor and help and intervene for us in ways that we can't even begin to grasp nor imagine. And so that's much of the message here about deliverance, that God will deliver His people indeed, and He will deliver others who begin to turn toward Him through this process. How fast is all this going to happen? Well, I'm sobered to feel, believe, see that we're in the midst of something that's already begun. How quickly it develops, how quickly all these things take place, we don't know. But we're on the doorstep, and that's sobering, truly is.